Will you please stand for the reading reverence of God's holy word? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31, and then we're going to go to Joshua chapter 2. I've already got my Bible marked. Hopefully you've got yours marked. If not, just listen and we'll read it to you. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. So there it is. This is the faith chapter, and he's working through the history of Israel. And he says this, by faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. Now look at Joshua chapter 2. Joshua chapter 2. You understand the history right now that 41 years previous, basically, they sent 12 spies into the land. 10 spies came back and said they're too big. 2 spies said we can do it. The nation went with the 10 spies. And they spent 40 years in the wilderness dying off so that God could take those that were 20 years and younger into the promised land. So now 40 years later, they got smart and they only sent 2 spies. And I'm pretty sure Joshua vetted them and said, you guys are on board, right? Yes, sir, we're on board. So I'm not asking you to come back and tell me anything negative. Oh, yeah, we get it, Joshua. We're just going to go and see the lay of the land. And they went. Here it is. Now Joshua the son of Nun sent out 2 men from Achaia Grove to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, especially Jericho. So they went and came to the house of a harlot named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, men have come here tonight from the children of Israel to search out the country. So the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, bring out the men who have come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to search out the country. Now I want you to look at verse 8. Now before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof. So she hid them and said to the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land and that the terror of you has fallen on us and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt and what you did to the 2 kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Shihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. Now, therefore, I beg you, swear to me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you also will show kindness to my father's house and give me a true token. And spare my father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. So the men answered her, here it is, our lives for yours. He's talking to a harlot, church. Our lives for yours, if none of you tell this business of ours. And it shall be when the Lord has given us the land that we will deal kindly and truly with you. Then she let them down by a rope through the window, for her house was on the city wall. She dwelt on the wall, and she said to them, get to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you. Hide there 3 days until the pursuers have returned. Afterward, you may go your way. So the men said to her, we will be blameless of this oath of yours, which you have made us swear, unless when we come into the land, you bind this line of scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down. And unless you bring your father, your mother, your brothers, and all your father's household to your own home, so it shall be that whoever goes outside the doors of your house into the street, his blood shall be on his own head, and we will be guiltless. And whoever is with you in this house, his blood shall be on our head if a hand is laid on him. And if you tell this business of ours, then we will be free from your oath, which you made us swear. Then she said, according to your words, so be it. And she sent them away. They departed. She bound the scarlet cord in the window. They departed and went to the mountain and stayed there 3 days until the pursuers returned. The pursuers sought them all along the way but did not find them. So the 2 men returned, descended from the mountain and crossed over. And they came to Joshua the son of Nun and told him all that had befallen them. And they said to Joshua, truly the Lord has delivered all the land into our hands. For indeed, all the inhabitants of the country are faint-hearted because of us. Father, we ask you to add your blessings to the reading and preaching of your holy word. In Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen. You may be seated. When grace and faith works together, Rahab the harlot became Rahab the believer. What's that do to you? Rahab the harlot became Rahab the believer. Church, listen to me. There are people in this world that are captivated and captured in gross sin. And the only difference between them and you and I is a hopefully sincere belief in the salvation of Jesus Christ. Amen? Charles Spurgeon, the greatest preacher known to the world, most people believe, had his congregation growing by thousands. This was before the days of amplification. So they built the Metropolitan Cathedral, or whatever they called it. And he stood and he preached to 3,000 people at a time. He would wear a scarf to protect his throat in the winter months and the such. Watch this. He's walking by a gutter, and there's a drunk man in the gutter, and his assistant says, "I cannot believe that." Spurgeon stopped him and said, hey, "But for the grace of God, there go I." There's not any sin known to man that you and I are not capable of. That's right. The only reason that you and I are believers is because of the grace of Jesus Christ on the cross. That's it. Rahab the harlot became Rahab the believer because she believed in God. She had faith that Jesus would come and pay the price for her sins. We look back to the cross and believe that Jesus did come and paid for the price of our sins. Anybody here that you have secrets that you want to keep secret? What would you do if I said, "Hey, I've been watching so-and-so for the last few years, and I've got all of the video of their actions, and I want to show you the highlights"? Number one, that person would either run out of the building or run up here and tackle me. One of the two. And we would all do that because, oh my gosh, oh my goodness, there are things that we want kept secret. Rahab's no different. And the only difference between you and I and that person is the forgiveness of Jesus Christ on the cross. What relief would it be if those things were known and forgiven? And that's exactly where Rahab became. Rahab was no longer the harlot once she entered into the life of the nation of Israel. She was now a child of God. That's the grace of God. So that's what happens when grace meets faith. Hebrews 11:31, "By faith the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace." Church, the only difference between a person that's going to be in heaven and a person that's going to be in eternal damnation, eternal punishment, is belief. That's the only sin that God will not forgive. If you die in the sin of unbelief, you will pay for your sins for the rest of your life. If you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will not have to pay for your sins for the rest of your life. Jesus did that on the cross. And you will have an eternal place of climate-controlled, absolute luxury. And there's just no words to describe it. Point number one. Rahab was saved by grace. Rahab was a harlot. And unlike the person to put faith in the true God of Israel, because the other inhabitants of the city were marked out for death, God in his mercy and grace permitted Rahab to live. I want to handle and maybe address an elephant in the room. There are several situations in the Old Testament especially where God wiped out an entire group of people. Why would God do that? It's pure and simple. But before we say that, watch this. That's a fair question. We've got to make sure and have a good answer. Church, listen to me. When I say good answer, I'm not telling you it's an answer that people are going to go, "Oh my goodness, that just clears it all up. Thank you, thank you." No, they still may look at you like you've got three heads. But it's a good answer because it's the right answer. There is no group of people where God didn't first give them the opportunity to follow him and accept him. When that people said, thanks but no thanks, that's when he said, this land of Canaan, I'm now gifting it to the nation of Israel. And he gave the nation of Israel strict and clear orders. You go in and you wipe them out because I gave them the opportunity. They did not believe. They were unbelievers. Watch this. Rahab did believe. And she didn't get wiped out. She was shown grace because of her faith. And we're going to see that here in just a second. She was saved by grace. So what is grace? Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace is God's power in your life to carry out his will. You and I may look at what God expects us to do. You've got, hey, Monday's coming, folks. You've got that job that you've got to go back to, and you're sitting there thinking, I don't know if I can put up with another day. Here's my question. Has God provided another job for you? Has God led you to another place? If not, that's the job for you. He will give you what you need to go to that job and do the job. He will every day, every day. But you've got to go to him and say, I'm here for another daily dose of grace, Lord. And he'll give it to you. I know he will. The difference between mercy and grace is mercy is not getting something that you do deserve. Grace is receiving something that you do not deserve. Rahab is a harlot. She's a woman of ill repute. She does evil and wicked things to make her living. Everybody in this room would agree that Rahab is a sinful woman. Yet, notice, according to the divine inspired word of God, she's not outside of the scope of grace. So what is the scope of grace? What are the limits? Who can and cannot be saved? God's word is very clear. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. There's no one. Church, hear me. There's no one that can sin outside of the grace of God. Can't do it. I can't speak for you because I don't know who you have talked to and what kind of conversations you've had with folks that are in this camp. And I see two areas, if you will, in this camp. You've got this person over here that is sorrowful for their sin. They are broken by their sin. They're living with the consequential circumstances of their sin. And the devil and their flesh in the world has convinced them God cannot forgive them. They have been convinced that they have sinned outside of the bounds of God's grace. Then you've got this guy over here. And he's not struggling with sorrow. He's struggling with sinful pride. You don't know what I've done, preacher. I've heard this. I've done so much stuff, ain't no way God could save me. In other words, I'm so good of a sinner, God cannot forgive me. I'm telling you, that's blasphemy. That's blasphemy. And that fellow can still be saved because there is no one that can sin outside of the grace of God. Hitler. If Hitler were to turn to Christ before he died, he's in heaven. Osama bin Laden. Fill in the blank. Any person that turns to Christ in sincerity, and watch this, you can't turn to Christ unless the Holy Spirit calls you. Amen, church? And the Bible's pretty clear. He's brooding. He's calling. If I be lifted up. And as he calls, if you answer, he'll forgive your sins. It'll be the best bath you've ever had. It'll be the best shower, whatever your preference is there, okay? Whatever the case may be. Number two, Rahab was saved by faith. What she knew about God is recorded in Joshua chapter 2, 8 through 14. She knew that Jehovah had delivered Israel from Egypt and that he had opened the Red Sea, but that was 40 years before. She also knew God had defeated the other nations during Israel's wilderness wanderings. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. That was her testimony of faith, and God honored it. That's the words of Warren Wiersbe. Once you understand that no one is outside of the grace of God, then faith, which is also a gift of God, must be exercised and practiced to receive salvation. So if you're here today and you've never ever accepted Christ as your Savior, but you've been working through it, you've been thinking about it, you've been wondering, you've been evaluating, if you will, God is showing you grace. He's calling you. He's asking you to accept Him as the absolute, full, final payment of your sin. You must simply say, yes, Lord. I agree, Lord. I agree. You're right. I'm wrong. I agree. I deserve eternal punishment, but you paid the price for my sin. Any man, woman, boy, and girl that does Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. When grace and faith come together. And what is faith? Well, we've been answering that question here. According to Scripture, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the practice of believing that God has, is, and will do what He has said. It's what's in the test tube of life. It is real. Faith is real. It's right. It's reliable for what is hoped for or needed. You have real, right, reliable faith that what you need will be provided. It's the evidence of things not seen. Your faith is the legally binding evidence that Christ can be trusted. Church, 20 years ago, came back as your pastor. I had absolute faith that God could renew what was here. Had absolute faith that we could move beyond where we had come to. And He did it. He did it. He wants to take us to the next step. He wants to continue to use us to reach Franklin County. How did she get here, church? How did Rahab get to this point where she was willing to receive the grace of God? How did she get to the point that she was willing to exercise faith in God? Watch it. And church, listen, this is the main point of the sermon. We're almost done. Because this is what's going on in your life with your neighbors, your friends, your relatives. They're Rahab, if you will. She watched. She watched what God did with the children of Israel. She listened. Oh, what happened at the Red Sea? She questioned. So is my existence, is this all there is to life? She evaluated. Am I living a life that God would be honored by? She grew dissatisfied. She grew dissatisfied. She longed for a relationship with a God who delivers His people. And all of a sudden, by absolute coincidence, two spies show up at her door. No, by the absolute divine workings of God, two spies knocked on her door, and she knew exactly what was going on. I believe Rahab was already saved before those two spies showed up. I do. And I believe that's why she told them what she told them, and they did for her what they did for her. Number three, she was saved unto good works. So when grace calls you and faith responds, church, listen to me. You got a job to do. We've got a job to do. Rahab had a job to do. She was saved unto good works. True faith must always show itself in good works. She protected the spies. She put the cord in the window as directed. Apparently won her family to the true faith and in every way obeyed the Lord. Not only was Rahab delivered from judgment, but she became a part of the nation of Israel. She married Salmon and gave birth to Boaz, who was an ancestor of King David. Imagine a pagan harlot becoming a part of the ancestry of Jesus Christ. That is what faith can do. Rahab is certainly a rebuke to unsaved people who give excuses for not trusting Christ. I don't know much of the Bible, a person might say. Well, often, Rahab knew very little spiritual truth, but she acted on what she did know. I'm too bad to be saved. We've already dealt with that. Rahab was a condemned heathen harlot. Another excuse is, what will my family think? Rahab's first concern was saving her family, not opposing them. She stands as one of the greatest women of faith in the Bible. What good works have you been called to do? The Bible's very clear. I can take you to the New Testament passage that says, you and I have been ordained unto good works. And yes, I believe that every member and attender should be involved to some level in good works to help the ministry of this church. Amen, deacons? Amen, Sunday school teachers? Amen, staff? Yes, every member and attender should find and look and pray for the good works that you are called to do in this ministry, but it doesn't stop there. You need to look at your work. You need to look at your neighborhood. You need to look at your family. You need to look at, we've tried to coin this phrase, your sphere of influence. Who are the people that you impact? You have been called unto good works to all of those people. You have. Yeah. And now we get to it, right? How do I know, Brother Ben? The leadership of the Holy Spirit. I think we're going to do better in this service. How many of you remember the story of the milk jug and the guy that, yeah. Christian, he listens to the Holy Spirit. He's at the grocery store for something else, and God says, buy a gallon of milk. Now, I don't know how you are, but my first response would be, I don't need a gallon of milk, Lord. And God's response was, I didn't ask your opinion. Go get the gallon of milk. Yes, sir. He went and got the gallon of milk. He gets in his car. The Lord says, turn here. That's not the way to hunt. Turn here. Yes, sir. He does that until he finds himself at a house. He walks up to the house, knock, knock, knock. He hears a conversation kind of loud going on, different language. And he's like, boy, Lord, I'm trusting you. If I die here, this is on you, you know, type thing. Man opens the door, looks at him. And the guy goes, hands the milk out. And he says, I don't know why, but God told me to bring you a gallon of milk. The man takes the gallon of milk, slams the door. Back to the languages, meaning other languages than English. Finally, he's walking away. The mother, the woman of the house, opens the door. Sir, sir, in broken English. Thank you. Husband lost job. Young child at home. We don't have any food. Thank you. That's what I'm talking about. Now watch this. God's never done that with me. God did do something very similar to that to Gavin. He can tell you the story. It's about 3 hours. But I'm kidding. It's a good story. It's a good story. You just need a little time. But here's the point. Church, the Holy Spirit, get ready for an amen. You ready for an amen? The Holy Spirit does speak to you. Amen. We need to learn to listen. And we need to have faith that when he tells us to do something that seems a little bit out of the box, be willing to do it. He will never tell you to do something that will go against his word. He will never do that. But you and I have been ordained unto good works. We need to start doing them when grace and faith come together. Will you stand, musicians? Will you come?